15 at the end, it's speaking this way, and then we get into 16. And this is all Jesus telling his followers about the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's the Holy Spirit today that's the same Holy Spirit back then, amen? And in verse 5 he says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage." When I read his word many years back in the red, and Jesus was sharing these things, I found out that I needed to find out more of who? The Holy Spirit. And the Lord directed our paths out to this church, at that time Believers Faith Fellowship. And I was so thankful because of grasping that understanding of the Holy Spirit. And the thing is that all churches can minister about the Holy Spirit, but at times where churches get into a particular direction of things and they don't always flow through all of it. They kind of just hold on to one thing, and that's all they keep emphasizing. I hope that we can kind of look at all aspects of God's word. Talk about redemption, talk about covenant, talk about the cross, talk about joy, talk about salvation, talk about the Holy Spirit. And when we get into that realm of the Holy Spirit, it is so powerful. And that's for today as well. But he's telling us that it's advantageous for us that Jesus goes. And the Helper, he will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. He's got to go, Jesus says, so that I can send another. And so, yes, is it not? I'm all mixed up here. Okay, I got myself twisted here. I've got a little hollow up here. But as we look at these things of God, the Helper and the Holy Spirit, and he's convicting the world of sin, he convicted me of sin. How about you? That's what brought my relationship to Jesus Christ. I realized that I needed something better and more than what I had. I need to be forgiven. And Jesus was that atonement for me. The same for you, I believe, as well, right? And he says, "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me." And it goes on, but it says, however, in verse 13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Has the Spirit talked to you? Have you been alone enough with the Holy Spirit that he has shared things with you to be able to understand what is planned for your life? And it's an awesome place to be. It doesn't happen all the time. At certain times of a person's life, I'm sure it's happened with me at certain times of my life that, you know, there was like those red letter days, you know, of things that God spoke to me. And it's by that of the Holy Spirit and helping me and leading me and guiding me and preparing me. And so the help of the Holy Spirit is so powerful and so much needed for us today. But he doesn't speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak. Well, who is he hearing it from? God. God the Father is speaking through the Holy Spirit that speaks into our spirit because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is in us. Our spirit, man, it's kind of a connection. It's kind of a conduit of things. We're kind of plugged in, you know, like a switch or a plug you plug into the power that's the source. With that Holy Spirit in us, we kind of plug into that power, the source of God, and we begin to get information. He begins to guide us and lead us. He begins to help us with truth. We need truth. We need truth in the church. The church needs to speak the truth. We needn't bring in the things of today. We needn't look at what is it going to take to draw a lot of people to the church. I believe we go out and we invite, yes, but I believe the Spirit of God, and it talks about in some parts of God's Word, where he will draw people to his church. What we as a church want to be is we want to be one of those churches that God can say, "This is my church." You know, it's not Harvester's church. This is God's church, to where he can bring people in. And I trust that we will stay true to his word, that we speak truth out of his word into our lives to help us grasp what we need to understand for the lives that we have today. Because we all have lives going on. Amen. And it's difficult at times. Both the guidance and the leadership and the speaking of truth and all from that of the Holy Spirit, it helps us stay true to who? God. We need to stay true to Him above anything else. Don't honor the church just because the church has been there for so many years and that's where all of my family goes to, and I don't really agree with everything they say, but I'm going to go there because that's just where we've always gone. You know, you find a church, and there's many churches out there, I hope, and we're not the top church and the best church maybe. We're trying to be that church that hears from God, that receives from God, that allows God to touch the hearts of His people, and that we don't have to say, well, let's just do this 25-minute little message, and now we feel good, and I hope you feel good, and you're going to go out, and I'll see you next week, and let's go have coffee. But there is coffee after service. But to allow God to have His time. I've said many times, we can minister multiple times here and say a lot of things and a lot of even God's word, but we can read it, but if it doesn't come alive to us, if it doesn't become so active in our life, it just becomes nothing but words on paper that we read, just like the paper, the Reader's Digest, the National Geographic, whatever, you know, we just read, it's information, which is good. But I want the power and the words of God to come alive in my life. And that's through that of the rhema, it just sets you on fire. There's something about it that just comes into your spirit. And the rhema, I believe, is when the Spirit of God just enlightens that to me, and all of a sudden it's an aha moment, a light comes on in my head, and I go, I get it now, God. Has anybody had one of those situations to where all of a sudden you get it? And it wasn't like a lot of fireworks went off and, you know, flares and all this type of stuff. All of a sudden, it's just like you're reading it and you're sensing it and you're meditating in it. And all of a sudden, it's like, I get it. I get it. I think that's what Jesus was talking about here, about the Holy Spirit coming to lead us and to guide us. We need that today. He doesn't speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Jesus says, all things that are the Father has are mine, and therefore I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. And then you go on, and it goes on, talks about turning sorrow into joy and things of the next scriptures as you read. But today, as we look at these things, and we truly ask at times, oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, You are welcomed here. I'm afraid sometimes we have, Holy Spirit, You are welcomed here. I'll give You 3 minutes. Do what You want to do, but then I gotta go. I gotta go. This is happening, and that I gotta go to, and this game is on TV, so I gotta go. We gotta be a church that waits upon Him. We got to be a church that says, God, there's nothing outside those doors that is more important than what You've got to do within us. Here in the church as a corporate body, or at your home, or at your job. We know it's everywhere, but we come together on a Sunday as a corporate body of like-minded faith believers, believing that God's word is His word, that His word directs us and leads us and guides us, and that, yes, God was at the beginning. Actually, the Holy Spirit was at the beginning. It was the Spirit was hovering, you know. So the Holy Spirit's been around. God's around. The Holy Spirit's around. Jesus is right. So the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But we got to get to that point of understanding that, you know, I wonder, even ourselves as a church, gosh, Lord, you know, if You come back on a particular day, I hope it's a Sunday between the hours of 10:30 and 12, because I know we'll be in Your church, you know. Because we got You sidelined for that point of time in our lives. Years back, the church was throughout the week. I'm sad to say that even as our church, we don't have a Sunday night. We really don't have a midweek Sunday or a Wednesday service like all the churches used to have, you know. There's still some out there doing it, but even I've seen in even large churches, it's all gone by the wayside because people aren't hungry enough. They don't want to come. They got other activities taking place. And so I pray that I guard myself as myself individually. You've got to do the same to where we say, but Lord, You're still the most important thing. and I got to be receptive to you, and I got to be open to you, and I've got to be listening to you. Gosh, do you think he's going to send out an invitation for you to come? Specifically when he says, I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up this particular day and time and all this place. Will you come? I don't think he's going to do that. He's going to look for the people that are hungry for him. He's going to look for his body out there. You know, we get into that point of, you know, give me a small church, because you know what? His word says he's coming back for a remnant of his church. And a remnant is just a small patch or a small part of the garment. And it's not to glorify in that, but I'm just saying that's what his word says. There will be a remnant that he's coming back to. We got all hopped up thinking he's going to come back and judge the world. Ooh, boy, they're going to get it when he comes back. No, the church is going to get it when he comes back. You know, the church is all going to be sitting wherever, and we're going to think we're in our ivory towers thinking we're all safe and ready to go, and he's going to come back and say, like the seven churches in Revelations is what it's all about. You did good, but. You did good, but. You did good, but. So we want to be the church that shows his love. We want a church that stays true to his word. We want to be a church that allows him to touch our hearts. As I look around here, each one of you have something going on in your life that is a part of your life that could be even a weight that you're carrying. I can't take that weight from you, but he can. Cast the care upon him, for he careth for you. He is my peace. He is my peace. Hallelujah. And so with his word telling us all of these things, that I can do this for you, I am this for you, I can take care of that for you. I believe God is up there like shaking his head at a lot of us in the church, and he's going, why aren't they just following what I've told them I can do? Instead of kicking against the goads at times or something, you know, it's just like we keep just banging our head on the wall. Like, I just don't understand it. I went to church and I got this and this, and I've got all this weight and all this pressure and all this stuff I've got to make a decision on. And God's word says, cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. We think the world has the answer. We think this has the answer. This book has the answer. This thing has the answer. This counselor has the answer. That group has the answer. This over here has an answer. We are a country, we are a people that's got so many people out there in groups trying to help people get better that I don't even know if the groups know what they're doing. It's just like group after group after group. And there are some good ones out there, sure. But I think we get into a false sense of hope that think that I can just go to a group and this will be taken care of. Well, the group might help you. They may even help you identify your problem, maybe, but who's going to really take that problem from you and help you with it and take it away and give you strength and give you peace and give you comfort and give you joy? Who's going to calm the waves in your life that you are on right now? You know, who's going to part that sea that you've got to cross to get to the other side? Nothing in the world will do that, but God can do those things. We're in that area of the spiritual side of things. You know, it says our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual thing that we're dealing with. And so today I visualize at times, even in things in my life, that I've got to do or go through or take care of. And I hearken back to maybe the children crossing the Red Sea. And it's like, well, how am I going to do that? I'm going to say, Lord, I've got an issue here. You need to part this here so that I can go through. And you know, the thing is, on dry ground, now look around at your yards today. There's a small window of time, the last few days, that I've been able to do things around the house, but wherever the sun hits and that ground is starting to thaw or it's mush and all that, you don't want to walk in that because you start sinking down. I want to go to where it's dry or where it's still kind of firm. But back in the day when he dried up and caused that split, it says that they went through on dry ground. So he not only parted the waters, but the material things, the things that were under that problem, they dried up so that they could walk across without getting muck and mire. See, with God in our lives, he wants us to go through life, and we can go through life if we keep him on us and with us and we follow him, and he will keep the muck and the mire from attaching itself to your shoes as you walk through this life. Isn't it easy to walk through this life and pick up a lot of gunk? Anybody ever went out in a field with shoes on and you're walking through this, and you get back and it's like, man, it's getting heavier to lift up my feet. And you look down, it's like your shoe's like three times as big because it's full of mud all the way around there. That is life today as we go through life. If we don't pay attention to the life around us, that stuff attaches itself to us. And we start going through life and we're going, man, it's getting heavier and harder to walk through this. I'm having a difficulty making it through this. I don't know why. What's going on? And if we could just look in that spiritual part, it might be like all of a sudden we got all this muck on us. It's like, where did this stuff come from? Well, you took a little of this and you took a little of that and this on you and you got that and this concern and blah, 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 all these things. I believe with the Holy Spirit in me, the Holy Spirit helps me understand those things and says, Tim, release it. Tim, don't carry it. Turn it over to me. Let me take that load. Be careful. Watch out. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Do this. Do this. But don't do that. You know, a constant time of with the Lord, even today as we walk, that he's totally or completely just downloading stuff to us. If we will pay attention and listen to him on how to handle this situation. Oh, do it this way. How to take care of that. What decision do I need to make? What should I do? How should I handle that? If we truly ask him, he will talk to you. He will tell you. He will help you. Amen? Jesus says, I'm sending a helper. I'm sending this helper that's going to do what? Going to be a comforter, an advocate, a censor, a counselor. Oh, there's your counselor. We go to a lot of counselors in the world, don't we? Well, I better go to a counselor for this and a counselor for that and a counselor for that. All these people have all these PhDs and all these things that they've been book knowledged on about people. But I'm telling you here, God's word, Jesus says, I'll send you a counselor, and that counselor is going to be with you all the time. You can only get to your counselor when you make an appointment. But the Holy Spirit will be with you all the time to turn over your sense, your issues, or to turn over your questions, or to help you through what you need to be helped through with. The Holy Spirit leads believers to a greater apprehension of the gospel truths. See, we get to the point, and I like that. I get into God's Word. There's some things in God's Word. I go, I have no understanding what you're trying to say there, God. What's that mean? Oh, Holy Spirit, enlighten me. Help me understand what God has put in his Word that is for me to receive today. In addition to general help and guidance, he gives the strength to endure the hostility of the world system. Anybody here living in the world? Well, I'm in the world. Remember that thing, Elijah, you're in the world, but you're not of the world? This is bad now because I've been pastoring over 12 years now, senior pastor. Now I'm starting to sound like Pastor Hoblet back when he was here. You know, you're saying, well, that reminds me back. I remember preaching a message one time because I asked the Lord. Here's the simplified thing. I say, Lord, if I don't understand something, I ask him. Help me understand this. What do you mean by that? I'm in the world, not of it. How do I show that to people? Especially, how do you show it to me, God, that I can get an understanding of it? So he takes me to something that I'm familiar with. Does he ever take you to something that you're familiar with in the natural? I love making pancakes. You know, pancakes. The kids love it. Chocolate chips. I make Mickey Mouse sometimes for the kids when I think about it, when they're over. Pancakes. So I'm sitting there. He says, well, Tim. He says, you know when you put the Bisquick in? Yeah. You put the milk in? Yeah. You stir it up? Yeah. Crack an egg in it? Yeah. What happens when the egg just goes into that batter? Still stays formed as an egg. I got the yolk and the, you know, the whatever that stuff that turns white. Whatever that is. But it's sitting in that batter. He says, the egg is in the batter, but it's not of the batter. Ah. So how does the egg get into the batter? You stir it. Once I stir it and stir it and stir it long enough, pretty soon that egg disappears and I can't tell where the egg's at. It all becomes part of that batter. I said, wow, God. Now every time I make pancakes, generally I think of that thing that he showed me probably 10 years ago. Because I ask, Lord, what is this? Lord, how can I help explain this to people? Because if I've got a question about it, I'm sure that's something to help kind of wrap their head around. So see, we are, his word is so powerful, isn't it? His word is so right on how he tells, it's very simple. Really, it says, you know, you don't have to be a rogue scholar to understand, because he says, come unto me as little children, you know. Just take my word and read it, and, you know, I believe he says, and if you don't understand it, Tim, ask me. You know, I'll tell you. I said, so I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. So what we got to do is don't get yourself stirred into the world of all these things. Remember how it was talking about, how it says he gives us strength to endure the hostilities of the world system. We got to endure the hostilities of the world system. He has us here for a reason and a purpose. He didn't put us here to chastise us, to say, well, Tim, you're you know, of this, and I'm going to put you in this world. He assigned us into this world. We are created in his image. He has a plan and a purpose for us right now and today. I tell people, young or old, and I tell you, I love ministering the older we get, but you have a purpose in this world no matter what age. God has something in you that he wants you to use to glorify him in this world. And I don't know what it is, but he knows what it is, and he'll tell you what it is in you if you just sit and meditate and ask him and listen, listen, listen. I mean, when those things come to me and he downloads this stuff to me, I go, wow, Lord, that's great. I understand that. This little feeble mind understands that I'm just an egg and I'm not going to get stirred into this world, but I'm going to be in the midst of this stuff and I'm going to try to make a difference. I'm going to remain separate, but I'm going to be in the batter. And Lord, as long as I can remain separate out of all this, I believe I can stay closer to you and I can help be that light, to be that salt, to be that conduit, to be the hands and the feet and whatever we want to use as describers of what we are for God upon this place. Another thing was talks about, people say, well, follow the light. We follow the light. We believe God is, Jesus is the light of the world. Boy, just this morning. Now, this was working this morning. There, be the light of the world. So then I was reading scriptures where it talks, I don't know, Lord, you know, I'm reading the scripture. It says, well, you know, Satan was light. And, you know, sang and head of the music and all that, but there was light in him. I said, well, how does that work, God? So one time I took a spotlight, turned all the lights off up here, had somebody that I, one of my sons, I think, at the time, and I had a spotlight sitting on the stand pointing out. It was dark out here, and I had somebody standing behind that light. And I said, you know, Scripture says, go for the light. Go for the light. We all want to go for the light, but you better be careful of who that light is, because the devil likes to mirror those things. And I said, there's somebody behind that light. Can you tell me who it is? No. You turn it off and the lights come on, it's, you know, is it God or is it the devil? You know? See, the devil's pretty cagey. He's not smarter than God, but he mirrors things and he can kind of like hocus pocus things to make you think these things. And that's where, as children of God, especially with the Holy Spirit in us, we are enlightened by him. We are alert by him. The Holy Spirit gives that tendency within us that if it doesn't seem right, put your spiritual antennas up, it probably is not right. And you got to be sensitive to those things, because we may falsely follow that light. Beautiful light, bright light, bright light. And all of a sudden we get way up. The light's over here, the light's over here. Wait, there's a light over there. Which one? Well, I'm going to follow this light. And we get way over here. And we get closer to the light and we find out that it's the devil. And now we're so far removed and we're so like mixed up. So be careful the light that you follow. Be careful the church that you follow. Be careful of anything that deals with God's word, because it says in the last days, the elect will be what? Deceived. So that tells me people, the elect, those of learning, those of knowledge, those that follow, those that know, they should know what's going on. they're cunningly going to be deceived to the point that they are totally opposite of what God's all about, and they don't even know how they got there. But you know, the thing is, as the elect are deceived, I think that's under the deception of being lies and things of that nature. Even in our natural, just think of this. In the natural, if a person hears a lie long enough, they begin to believe the lie. So in church circles, in God's Word, as more of God's Word is distorted, as more of it is being watered down, as more of it is being even taken out and say, well, let's don't cover this verse because I don't want to offend somebody if I say sin. I don't want to offend somebody if I say you need, you know, to repent. You should do that. You know, it's these things that you look at and hear and read, and it's just what God's Word is saying for us to do. But His Word is there to help us and to help us grow closer to Him. For God so loved the world, He sent Jesus for me. Jesus came for a season. Then Jesus says, Tim, I got to go. In my personal walk with Him many years back, 24, 25 years ago, when He says, Tim, I'm here for you, but Tim, I got to go. You know, it's kind of like reading the scriptures as I was reading it. And He says, I've got to go. It's going to be an advantage to you. Now back then, wouldn't you think people say, oh no, don't go, Jesus. My goodness, look, we saw you heal. We saw you raise people from the dead. We saw you, you know, take some fish and loaves and you multiplied it and we fed. We saw miraculous miracles out of you, God. Oh, Jesus, don't go. We need you. But He had to go to fulfill that plan of God. They just didn't realize when He said it'd be advantage to you if I do go. In the natural, somebody would say that you had a good relationship with, and they'd say, Pat, I've got to go because, you know, it's going to be more of an advantage to you that if I go than if I stay. And you go, well, that doesn't make sense because, you know, you're providing this and I'm seeing this and I like being around you and you're awesome and this and this. But it was all for that plan and that purpose that God had set forth from the beginning of the foundations of this world. And so sometimes, just like the disciples that were with Jesus, they didn't quite understand. Even today, when we've not been with Jesus, there's some things that I don't understand. But I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit to come and help me and guide me and lead me and teach me and show me these things that begins to help me understand more of clarity of God so that I can put my next foot in front of the other and keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord God, we love you. So as life goes on and we confess God and we confess Jesus and we confess that of the Holy Spirit, be ready to be laughed at and mocked, told you're crazy. Anybody been told you're crazy because of you believe in the Holy Spirit or something? Some of your family look at you differently like, oh, okay. Yeah, one of them. Okay. You're in good company because they mocked Jesus, the very man that was doing these things. But they were so blinded by it because they were so steeped in religious ardor. And if it wasn't the religious ardor, it was just they were just blinded to it. It talks in God's Word to where, you know, the hearts of the people are hardened. The mind has been seared. And that's why it's so hard today to even talk to people about these things. But it was the same back then. It's just hard to talk until we pray for the Spirit of God to begin to open them up to the things of God. Open them up, God, for the things that you have for them. And I know that my God can do that because I know God is all God. Amen. Nothing is too difficult for Him. With God, all things are possible. He wants to see those people saved or reborn as much as I do. Because why? Because He sent Jesus to die for that sinner, 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 for that sinner. For all these sinners out here, Jesus died. And there's still people out there that we need to proclaim this thing to. So you proclaim. And I was listening, and it's true, and I've heard this many times, and I'm sure you've heard this too, that as you share the things of Christ or that of Jesus or of God, and they mock you, or they whatever, they're not really mocking you, or they're not discounting you. They're actually just discounting God. Or they're discounting Jesus. Or they're discounting the Holy Spirit. Don't take it personal. Just go out there and share it, and if they receive it, fine. And just like with Jesus, you know, to the disciples when they went out, and if they don't, shake the dust off your feet and just keep going. Don't get bogged down and mired into all that stuff that they did. All of a sudden you're just stuck right there and you're going, oh man, I got to go further for God, but you're mired down. He brought me out of that miry clay. He set my feet on the rocks to stay, I think. He put a song in my heart today, a song of praise, hallelujah. We all come out of the miry clay, you know. But he sets us on that rock. And he wants us on that rock. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I would encourage you for just a few minutes. I don't know, whatever you like. But what do you need from God today? What do you need from God today? Or, if God were here, he would say, Tim, what could I give you today? What could I do for you today, Tim? I want to do something for you. Hallelujah.